From Spark and Anvil and Tectonic Forge, this is Vent, in Chapter 1 of the Tectonic Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5.
In the warm gravel above a hot spring, a salamander tween named Vent crouched over three small rocks and quietly refused to let anyone call them the same thing. He was plush soft and amber red, cream along the belly, his vest sagging with small pockets full of smaller tools. In the dirt in front of him sat a black rock, a gray rock, and a pale glassy one, arranged in a careful row like the sentences of something he was still learning to read. A cluster of younger creatures had gathered to watch, already bored, already certain that rocks were rocks. "They're all just lava," one of them said. "You pulled them out of the same volcano. Same hole, same stuff." "Same hole," Vent agreed, lifting the black one. "Different stories." He knocked it against a stone. Talk. A dense, satisfied sound. This one poured out smooth and slow, like syrup sliding off a spoon. Whatever it came from was thin and hot and eager to move. He set it down and raised the pale glassy chunk instead. This one came from something thick, sulky. It didn't want to flow at all, so it didn't. It burst. He turned to them, unhurried. Same volcano, two completely opposite moods, down in a place none of us will ever get to stand. Despite everything, the younger creatures leaned in. "That's the whole trick," Vent said softly. "You can't climb inside the earth and look. Nobody can. But the earth is generous. It keeps sending up little pieces of itself, still warm with the truth. Eruptions tell us what was happening below." He touched the three rocks. 1, 2, 3. Three rocks. Three honest reports from somewhere we'll never visit.
Vent had learned to read hidden things long before he ever learned the word magma. His family were steam watchers and had been for longer than the village kept count. The salamanders above the hot spring burrowed down through the warm gravel and read the ground the way other creatures read the sky, by patience, by touch, by noticing the small shifts most people walked straight past. As a small thing, Vent had found the whole business maddening. Nothing ever happened. The hillside simply sat there, steaming and secretive, and refused to perform. One evening, sulking, he'd pressed his cheek flat to the ground the way his grandmother did, expecting nothing, and felt it. A slow, living warmth against his skin. Under that, almost too faint to trust, a trembling. He'd bolted upright, heart going quick. "Something's down there," he'd whispered. "Right now. I can't see it, but I can feel it moving." His grandmother hadn't laughed. She'd only pressed her own palm to the gravel beside his. "It's always there, little one. The heat below never rests. Most days it just keeps its own quiet company." She'd let the silence sit. "But it can't help leaving clues. A thread of steam, a shiver in the dirt, the ground going warmer against your feet than it was yesterday. You never have to see a thing to know it's alive and busy. You only have to learn what its clues are trying to say." That was the evening the hillside changed for him. It wasn't empty. It wasn't boring. It was crowded, deep down, working, always working, and murmuring the whole time to anyone willing to be still enough to hear it. Vent was never lonely up there again.
He walked to Tectonic Forge at 12 because a place that claimed to study the earth ought, he reasoned, to care most about the parts it kept hidden. Geo, the old mentor who ran the workshops, met him at the gate and asked a single question. "What is volcanism?" Vent didn't offer a speech. He drew the three rocks from his vest, the black, the gray, the pale, and set them in the dirt in a neat, deliberate line, the way you'd lay down evidence. "An eruption isn't the story," he said. "It's the last page of it. This is the story." He touched each in turn. "Runny and easy, somewhere in the middle, thick and about to burst. Three rocks from three different mountains, and every one of them is telling me exactly what the melted rock underneath was like, its temper, its thickness, long before any of it ever reached the surface."
Geo studied the row in the dirt for a long, unhurried moment, the kind of pause that made younger creatures fidget. Vent didn't fidget. "You read the outside?" Geo said at last, "to understand the inside." "Every single time," said Vent. "Then you are appointed." Vent's workshop filled, over the seasons, with rocks that were secretly stuffed with information and students who arrived certain they were wasting their afternoon. One girl came in with her arms folded before she'd even sat down. "It's a rock," she said flatly when he pressed the black one into her hand. "A plain, boring black rock. Weigh it. Heavy? Really heavy. Way heavier than it looks. That's basalt. It cooled out of magma with almost no silica in it, barely any of the sticky ingredient. So down below, it ran hot and thin. Thin as water." He watched her turn it over. "When basalt erupts, it mostly just pours. Long, slow rivers of it, glowing and calm. Gentle, as these things go." He traded it for the pale, glassy chunk. "Now that one." She weighed it against her palm. "It's so light, almost like sugar spun into glass. High silica magma, thick as cold honey and stubborn. It won't flow, so the gas has nowhere to escape. It stays trapped and pressure builds and builds until the whole thing lets go at once. That's your explosive eruption." He laid the gray rock between them, a bridge. "And this middle one, andesite, comes from the in-between kind of melt. It builds those tall, steep, cone-shaped mountains, Mount Fuji, Mount St. Helens." The girl went quiet, looking from one rock to the next. "So you can hold a piece of a volcano," she said slowly, "and know how it behaved, even if you never watched it, even if it was over before you were born." "Especially then," Vent nodded, "and it goes deeper. The runny kind tends to rise where the Earth's plates are pulling apart. The thick, bursting kind rises where they're grinding together, and one plate is being shoved down under the other. So the rock hands me the chemistry, and the chemistry hands me what the plates were doing." He set it down and said the next part carefully, the way his grandmother had taught him to say important things. "And when a mountain like St. Helens or Pinatubo truly does erupt, there are people living in its shadow. We don't rank eruptions like scores in a game. We honor the ones who lived through them, and we learn to read the clues, because reading them well is how we warn each other in time." The girl was cradling all three rocks in her cupped hands now, as though they'd quietly turned valuable.
Later, when the workshop had emptied and the light outside had gone soft and low, the girl came back. She was quieter this time, and she didn't pick up a rock. "The part you can't see," she said, "the stuff way down inside, before anything ever comes out. How do you know it's really in there?" Vent thought about the hillside, his cheek against the warm gravel, the trembling too small to be sure of, his grandmother's study palm pressed flat beside his own. "You feel for it," he said. "That's the honest answer, the only one I've got." Warm ground, a thread of steam, a shiver you can't quite prove. None of that is the whole truth. It's just the little bit the whole truth lets slip out the edges. He turned the black rock over in his hands. "The earth is a lot like a person that way. You almost never get to see straight down into someone. But if you pay close, gentle attention, the way they go still, the way they lean in without meaning to, the warmth or the tremor of them, you start to understand what's happening deep down, in the place they can't say out loud." The girl nodded slowly, and Vent watched something loosen across her shoulders, the very same easing he'd felt himself years back, the first time a hill he'd thought was empty turned out to be brimming. He didn't say the last part aloud, but he felt it settle in him, warm and low and certain beneath his ribs. Nothing that truly matters ever stays hidden for good. It only waits, patient, still warm, for someone kind enough to read the clues gently, and to be trusted with a hidden thing, and to hold it carefully, feels like the ground going warm under your feet. Quiet and alive and glad.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum Aligned to Vent. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.